Buckner, Section 420, talking Yankees. Well, Yankee fans finally have something to smile about. The New York Yankees get revenge on the Mets, sweeping the two-game Subway Series Part Deux at Yankee Stadium, taking both games 4-2. And interestingly enough, that's after taking the final game against the Toronto Blue Jays 4-2. So the Yankees, again, last two victories have been of the 4-2 nature, which, you know, maybe not exciting from an offensive point of view, but again, Yankee fans will certainly take the wins. And of course, you know, things have seemed a little bit more optimistic now, just with some of the, you know, new players such as Benintendi doing well, contributing, and of course getting a good start with Frankie Montas, which is much needed. So we'll get into all that, as well as preview the Oakland A's series, part of the kickoff this long West Coast trip by the Yankees. You know, four out in Oakland, three in Anaheim of Los Angeles Angels, California, whatever they call the team every different week, and then finish it off with three games at the Trop. So tough road ahead a little bit, you know, not against, I guess, you know, the first two teams, you know, not too tough, but of course, big series coming up with Tampa because they're nipping at the Yankees' heels, just 7.5 games back in the AL East. So we'll get into all that. But before we do, as I always like to remind you, make sure you subscribe. So wherever you listen to this, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you type something in Google looking for something else, you just happen to land on this podcast, congratulations. Follow it. Subscribe to it. I'm sure there's a button like that and get notified. New content goes up throughout the rest of the season. And of course, there'll be some contributions to this as well as during the off season, just so you don't get sleepy. So Yankees, again, we're kind of reeling. Again, overall, I had a disastrous road trip. Covered that ad nauseum, as well as a disastrous homestand. You know, the only good exciting moment was that Josh Donaldson walk-off home run against Tampa. Other than that, you know, not really much to cheer about. And of course, the Yankees are able to salvage the final game of their four-game Toronto set, where they almost got swept there as well. But finally, Benintendi coming up with a big home run. And of course, Benintendi will make his mark on this Subway Series. And just, you know, it's a good sign just because, you know, the Yankees' offensive has been struggling. And, you know, you bring in Benintendi, and so far we haven't really seen what he's been capable of. Now we'll finally see what he can contribute. So the first game, now normally, you know, if you're going to put down a bet, you figure the Yankees, this is going to be the ones the Yankees are going to lose. Domingo Germán versus Matt Scherzer. Now, Germán, of course, he's been, you know, better and better and better, but as we all know with Scherzer, one of the best pitchers in baseball, even though he's in the late 30s there, gunning for his 200th career win. But actually, Germán would get the best of him in this one. Now, I mean, Scherzer wasn't complete garbage, but Germán was just a little bit better, was able to out-duel veteran pitcher. And it was Benintendi making his impact in the first inning. DJ LeMahieu with a sacrifice fly to right field to Marte. Marte with a strong throw, but Benintendi able to slide in, kind of an iconic type of play there, just, you know, the way he kind of dove into home plate, able to avoid the tag, put the Yankees up on the board early, 1-0. And then in the third inning, power versus power, and Judge has been a little bit quiet with the long ball lately. Well, finally kind of broke out of that. Solo shot off of Scherzer, opposite field, put the Yankees up 2-0, his 47th of the season. And then Benintendi again, this time doing it with the bat in the fifth inning with a double, scoring IKF, and the Yankees out to a 3-0 lead. And you figure, right, you know, Yankees are kind of cruising along a bit. And Germán was, you know, good for the most part in this game, pitching into the seventh inning, only giving up one earned run. Now, he did give up two-run jack to Dan Vogelback. Wasn't totally his fault. Misplay before that allowed Alonso to reach base. And then, of course, Germán with a breaking ball. Again, Vogelback, kind of, you know, one of the good additions for the Mets, kind of a bit of a character guy there. Able to drive the ball to right field, again, with Alonso on. So the Mets were able to cut into the lead at this point, 3-2. But, again, Germán was only responsible for one of those runs because, again, the Alonso reached on an error. But then Benintendi, again, with a good piece of hitting in the bottom of the seventh off of Scherzer. Scherzer kind of looked like a bit of a breaking ball, went low. Benintendi actually went down to get it, able to pull it into right field. And IKF was able to score again. So Benintendi bringing in IKF for the second time this game, the Yankees were able to increase the lead to 4-2. And for Benintendi in this game, 2-for-3, two RBIs, one run scored himself, kind of that Superman diving play in the first inning there. And again, just good to see him now getting involved in this Yankee offense, again, which just, you know, been on life support the past couple of weeks. And again, you could say he was responsible for the win against Toronto. Now he's responsible two games in a row, two solid games in a row for Benintendi in this game. And then Yankees, this kind of the bullpen depleted. Had to go a little unconventional route. So Loaiza got able to finish out the eighth. Boone stuck with him for the ninth, and he was able to finish it off. And it's good for Loaiza. Again, he's just kind of been kind of like drifting in the woods a little bit. You know, good performance, bad performance. You know, trying to get him back to what he was, but the Yankees, 2021 last year when he was, you know, they used him as a setup man in eighth inning a lot of times and he was having success. This season, you know, really hasn't gotten that consistently. And then, of course, was hurt for a while, was shut down, now was back. But still, you know, it's just good to see him in there. And it seems like, you know, they're going to need him. This with Clay Holmes going to still be out for a while. You know, the Yankees are a little shorthanded there. So, again, if you get Loaisiga, you know, kind of get his confidence. And then if you get him to lock down games, all the more better because, again, you just know with Chapman, again, it's a flip of a coin with Chapman, you know what you're going to get. So if you got someone that you could breathe a little easier with Loaisiga, all the more better. So the Yankees taking that first game 4-2. Now, the second game, as I mentioned before in the previous podcast, again, if you're a subscriber, you would have heard it. You know, the Mets were kind of tossing up in the air whether they're going to go with Walker for game two or Jacob DeGrom. I'm sure Met fans wanted DeGrom. DeGrom probably wanted DeGrom, but Walker was kind of slated there. He was coming back from some back spasm issues. And again, with DeGrom kind of coming back from injuries himself, they feel like any opportunity to give him an extra day here and there, they're going to take it. So the Mets were going to go have a road trip out to Colorado. So they figure out, you know what, let's get him some extra rest, give him a blow here, and, you know, kind of a little less stressful situation, let's just say that, against the Colorado Rockies and a game against the Yankees in the Bronx with a packed crowd there. So understand Showalter's thinking there. Again, you got to think long-term, long season. Again, the Braves are kind of nipping at the Mets' heels. They're only a couple games up on the Braves. So, again, you're going to need DeGrom healthy as possible. So, so to the Yankees fans' delight, it was Walker, who's no pushover, but again, I will take Walker with back spasms over Jacob DeGrom any day. And for the Yankees, this is going to be an important start just for Frankie Montas because very underwhelming so far. Yeah, they bring him in here and just one mediocre start and two lousy starts. Again, the Yankees gave up J.P. Sears and some prospects to get him. Again, this is a guy that you were hoping maybe slot in as a number 2-3 guy if you're going to, you know, start a playoff series. And so you need to start to perform. And finally, he did put in a good effort for this one. It wasn't until the fourth thing that the Yankees got on the board against Walker. It was Judge again. So, again, heating up a little bit with the home run ball again. Crushed the ball 450 feet to the left field bleachers. Off of Walker, put the Yankees up 1-0. And then the Yankees, they were a little rally, put a couple of runs on in the fourth inning, had a bases loaded situation with like one of the young kids, Oswaldo Cabrera, up, able to work a walk, able to, so he walked in a second run there, so the Yankees up 2-0. And Yankees able to, had an opportunity that maybe, you know, put a crooked number on the board, maybe score a couple of runs there, but unfortunately, kind of fluffer after him, grounded out the shortstop, and the Mets were able to avoid disaster and again, leave the fourth inning 2-0. Then finally, in the fifth, the Mets' offense will finally get to work against Montas. Connor led off that inning with a double in the top of the fifth, and Marte was able to hit a score him in RBI single. Now, Beatty, kind of the young Met guy who kind of come up there, tried to score as well on the play, but as Oswaldo Cabrera able to throw him out from right field. Again, great defensive play by him. So the Yankees were able to keep the score at that point 2-1. Again, we've seen Cabrera not do too much with the bat, a ton with the bat, but we've seen him, obviously, overall, a lot of defensive gems, two already out in right field, making that throw, as well as a robbing a home run ball, and we may see him making some good slip plays there by third base as well, so great weapon for the Yankees, as well as his speedster on the bags. But it wasn't until the sixth inning that finally the Mets were able to tie it. McNeil was able to double in Alonso, tied the score at that point. 2-2, but overall for Montas, again, a good quality start, able to pitch into sixth inning, only gave up those two earned runs with six strikeouts, one walk, and scattered six hits. So again, good quality start for Montas. Didn't end up getting the win in this game, but again, just able to at least, you know, relieve some of the anxieties of probably Brian Cashman and Yankee fans. Now it was the seventh inning then, where the Yankees were finally able to take the lead. Now former Yankee Joely Rodriguez, who they, if you may recall, the Yankees swapped Miguel Castro from the Mets earlier this season. Castro kind of working his way back from a shoulder injury himself. But Joely, the lefty, the former Yankee, on the mound. Now Cabrera, lefty on lefty there, able to lead off, get a single, get on base there. And then if that is an interesting play. So Trevino's up, hits a little pop flare towards right field. And it was one of those situations where like the right fielder and the second baseman, Alonso, went for the ball. Alonso kind of took a stab out with his glove. Now it hit the glove in foul territory, but the ball actually bounced into fair territory. So actually, Alonso actually, you know, kind of like dunked it in as a hit for the Yankees there. Reminiscent when you know, Luis Castillo had that big pop up in 2009 with A-Rod. You know, I covered, you know, I've probably told that story several times across my different channels and platforms. Castillo drops the ball there, and both A-Rod and Teixeira scored on the play. Again, a disastrous loss for the Mets there. And this was probably, honestly, as iconic as that, but pretty close. So, you know, Alonso with the error there allowed Cabrera to score. And then Judge would also add another hit in that inning, put the Yankees up 4-2. Again, that's off another former Yankee, Adam Ottavino, now with the Mets, and doing pretty good, having a good bounce back season. But Judge able to lace a single to right field off of Ottavino there, and the Yankees up 4-2. And this would go along into the ninth inning, where it really got dicey. Now, Clark Schmidt came on relief, and we've seen the Yankees, you know, pretty much do this since he's kind of a starter, go multiple innings with him on this one. So we actually gave the Yankees three innings on paper, but this really got dicey in the bottom of the ninth. Now he had two outs, and they bring up a pitch hitter, Nate Queen, who Clark Schmidt walks. Now you figure, all right, how can you do that? Two outs, just throw it in there, lay it in there. But unfortunately, Nate Queen able to work the walk there. Up Brandon Nimmo, got a good speedster, good eye at the plate there. It hits a ball up the middle there. It's a little dribble. Problem is, it was slow enough that, and Nimmo's a very fast runner. He was able to reach first, and there was really no play on him. So it's not like he hit the ball hard. It's just he placed it perfectly up the middle there shading towards second base a little bit there. But there was really no play on him. So now I put two runners on there with the Mets threatening. Now, Sterling Marte, the righty up there. You figure, all right, you go righty on righty. And Schmidt got ahead on him 0-2. He's like, all right, figure you're 0-2. Maybe you could bury a pitch, get him to swing something out of the zone. But no, Marte, good eye at the plate, able to work another walk. So now you have bases loaded up with the dangerous Francisco Lindor having a great season for the Mets there. And then Boone had to go to Wandy Peralta to get the final out. And, Yankee fans had to hold their breath there. And both Yankee and Mets fans, to their credit, stayed for the ninth inning, up in their feet pretty much the whole inning. It was an inning that almost never ended. It was painful, but a sigh of relief when Peralta was able to get Lindor to finally fly out on an 0-2 pitch. Again, a shot to center field, which you never really thought it was out a little bit. Of course, right on contact, all the fans scream because every fan, when a ball hits the air, they think it's a home run. But it was just more or less a routine fly out to Floreal in at center there. Again, Judge switched from center, went over to right field and a little defensive positioning there. Floreal able to glove it for the final out. And again, Yankee fans able to exhale, which would have been a disastrous loss. I mean, you just kind of smelt that in the air a little bit. So it was just good for the Yankees to kind of hold off that little Met rally there in the ninth inning. And the Yankees are able to hold on to the 4-2 lead there and win three games in a row for the first time, seemingly forever. And Leafs can now go out on the West Coast trip starting in Oakland, feeling good about themselves. And it's an opportunity again. Oakland, 33 games below 500. They just traded Frankie Montas, probably the best player there as a pitcher, not playing for much there. So this is an opportunity for the Yankees really to steamroll them, as well as the Anaheim Angels, who are also having a terrible season right now. Pretty much the punching bag of all of baseball, definitely the American League. And now you're hearing whispers that the Art Monero, the whatever ownership group there, looking to possibly sell the team off. So again, this you have two organizations back-to-back that are really in the dumps. And this Yankee team seems to be coming on a little bit better lately now. Great opportunity for them to really have a nice road trip. And, if you could pad up some wins there, even if you have an underwhelming performance in Tampa, still, if you do take care of the seven games in Oakland and in Anaheim, then, you don't have to stress as much as in Tampa. But again, if you struggle against, terrible teams there and you force almost like sweep or take 2 out of 3 against Tampa, that's just a situation you don't want to be in. So the Yankees got some light ahead of them, and you've seen, again, some good things. Now, good start by Frankie Montas. Benintendi now, you're starting to see his skills now play out in the game, whether he's getting clutch hits against left-handed relievers, whether he's, just using his speed, whether he's, clutch hitting against a tough righty like Scherzer. Starting to see Benintendi kind of influence now the games there, and the Yankees could kind of almost settle into a lineup where Benintendi leads off. You got DJ hitting second, which, again, DJ LeMay is the perfect number two type of hitter there, just whether you can often take the ball to right field there. The big man Judge batting third, and then Rizzo offering protection in the cleanup hole. And then, of course, now the big news, Stanton finally coming back, will join the Yankees. They're going to make it official just before the start of the Oakland game, something like him batting fifth. And if that's your 1-5, that should really start turning on this Yankee offense and, finally breathe some life into them, which, again, they've just kind of been a corpse since really the All-Star break there. Looks like it's going to be Tyone to start the series in Oakland. But the interesting now is going to be the second game, where former Yankee J.P. Sears, who the Yankees traded for with some other prospects to get Montas, will pitch the second game. And kind of like similar to Jordan Montgomery, he's been a godsend, 2-0 with the A's, but overall the season 5-0 with an ERA under 2, so 1.93. So if you look at both, what Montgomery's doing in St. Louis, again, 4-0 with an ERA 0.34, and his last start had a one-hitter complete game, one-hitter shutout in Chicago. Again, just something we've never seen from him, but all of a sudden he's just turning it on there. And JP Sears seems to be really taking custom to Oakland. So again, sometimes there's a change of scenery, sometimes it's opportunity, sometimes it's expectations, all that stuff. But again, Yankees will face Sears in that second game, and maybe the Yankees could help Sears out and give him his first loss. That would make Yankee fans really happy. And as I mentioned, Stanton coming back, it gave him a rehab start, and then had him face batting practice from Severino, kind of just laying some fastballs in there. I guess, Severino not fully amped up yet, but I guess more or less throwing some batting practice to Stanton. I guess they felt good enough, and his body, I guess, felt good enough, so he's able to rejoin the team. But since he's rejoining the team to make a spot on the roster there, had to option Florio back down to AAA. So Florio up here for a bit of a cup of coffee. They're going to look like they're sticking with Cabrera. Again, he's been a little bit more impressive of the two, not only defensively, on the base a little bit with the speed. Again, hasn't really given you a ton of hitting, but doesn't really seem overwhelmed there. So I guess they're going to stick with Cabrera a little longer. Just with Donaldson, struggling himself, and he had a little bit of a stomach bug issue as well shortly after that Grand Slam game. So, maybe he had a couple of glasses of champagne afterwards that affected him, or who knows, whatever, maybe from traveling, whatnot. So Donaldson, he's available, but maybe he's just a little dehydrated, so maybe just want to keep Cabrera around, because as we know, he could play third base and give Donaldson a bit of a blow there. DJ could play third base as well a little bit, but they probably don't want to press him too much just with that toe situation. They probably want to limit DJ as well, moving around too much. So the Yankees, almost back at that 30-game over 500 mark, 76-48, heading to Oakland. And Oakland kind of the exact opposite, 46-79, so 33 games under 500. So good opportunity for the Yankees to get some wins here. Again, just the way that they've been playing a little bit better lately. The closer situation, Holmes is throwing some live pitching there. No word when he's due back, and is he going to be effective as the Holmes was earlier this season? So, the ninth inning's up in the air there a little bit, but it's just good to see someone like Lo Weisiger able to nail down a save, or if they need someone like Clark Schmidt, kind of unconventional, able to close a game out. And a little good news, Zach Britton coming back from Tommy John has been given a rehab assignment, so possibly he's a solution. You figure that's still going to be a couple of weeks away before he's able to join the team. And, of course, I don't know how effective he's going to be once he's there, kind of build up your arm strike and endurance and have to get to know everybody again like that. So we'll see how that goes. But at least a little good news that possibly Britton might be available for the Yankees in September. And again, much needed if this turns out that Clay Holmes is still continues to melt in the ninth inning and Chapman. So I hope you like the episode. Things a little bit better in Yankee land. People are, getting away from the ledges, getting away from the bridge and all that stuff, and not throwing the toaster in the bathtub that's filled up, feeling a little bit better themselves, and, sweeping the Mets there. Again, Mets, one of the better teams in baseball. They cooled down a little bit, but still to take, two from the Mets. Good there just to get a little revenge on them because the Yankees dropping two at Citi Field earlier. And Benintendi playing well, just much needed. Just because, he was kind of post-place Gallo, who did nothing for the Yankees. He's giving some contributions to the Dodgers, but, you can't have Benintendi do it absolutely nothing because, that's what Gallo is doing, and Benintendi was supposed to be the anti-Gallo. So good to see Benintendi making some contact. So Section 420 Talking Yankees. If you haven't done it already, please subscribe. Get notified when new content comes up, and we'll catch you on the West Coast trips.